Open your Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Easter is just a couple of weeks away. It kind of snuck up on me this year, I'll be honest with you. And so I wanted to try to begin to turn our thoughts toward that time in the life of Jesus, the last week of his life and the events that took place during them. In the first part of John chapter 12, there's the meal that Jesus has in Bethany. And then right after that is his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. That entry into Jerusalem marked the end of his life on this earth. And sometime after he entered into the city of Jerusalem on that last week, sometime after that, I don't know how long, but sometime after that entry, he began to speak about his upcoming death, and I want to talk about that this morning. John chapter 12, start reading in verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loseth his life, or he that loveth his life, shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." The first thing that I want us to notice from this passage this morning is Jesus said that it was time for the cross. In verse 23, Jesus answered, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And the hour that he spoke of, the moment that he spoke of, was his crucifixion. Jesus lived about 33 years on the earth. The last 3 years of his life he spent in ministry. He traveled the country at that time, and he showed people the love of God. He showed people the power of God by working miracles. He taught people the Word of God, the things of God. But he didn't, that wasn't the reason, that wasn't just the reason that he came. He didn't just come to show us God's love, or just to do miracles, or just to teach us the things of God. The ultimate purpose of Christ was to give himself as a sacrifice for the sins of all mankind on the cross of Calvary. All those things were involved in his purpose, but his ultimate purpose was that. And in verse 23, Jesus just simply says, okay, that moment, the time of my death, is at hand. In just a few days, he knew that he would be crucified. A lot of people, especially those who are unsaved, and a lot of philosophers have wondered about the purpose of life. Why am I here? For a lot of folks, they think life is futile. You know, you're born and you live. And, you know, you get some sort of an education and you grow up and you enter into relationships with other people and you get a job and you make money and you acquire possessions and you have kids and all this stuff. And then you just die and leave everything behind. All the money, all the possessions, the children, the relationships you've had, you just leave all that when you die. And so they think, you know, really, what's the point? Well, I guess all of that to a certain extent is part of our purpose for living. But we have, every person has an ultimate purpose, a God-given purpose for living on this earth. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." The ultimate purpose of every person, man and woman, is to reverence God, to fear God, to obey God, to glorify God. The Bible even tells us when we're supposed to do that. we say, boy, if I get the chance, right? If the opportunity presents itself, I'll do something for the Lord. If I get the chance, I'll do something for the Lord. If the pastor asks me, I'll do something for the Lord. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And we read that verse and we say, see, if I get the opportunity. Well, opportunity in that verse indicates a time period. It's not a single moment. It's a period of time, and it's our lifetime. So the Bible says, the Bible instructs us that while we are living, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those of the household of faith. Let us do the work of God. Let us glorify God while we are alive and living on this earth. You probably remember the story of Esther. Esther was a young Jewish woman living in the empire of Persia, and the king there had gotten dissatisfied with the queen, and so there was sort of a nationwide beauty pageant, if you will, and Esther was chosen to come to the palace, and eventually Esther was chosen as queen. She was made the queen of Persia. And while she reigned as queen, Haman decided that he wanted to annihilate the entire Jewish race. You remember Mordecai. Mordecai was Esther's uncle, and he was a Jewish man, and he wouldn't bow. When Haman came into the palace, he wouldn't bow before Haman. It made Haman mad. So he decided he would just kill all the Jews, not just Mordecai, but I'll just get rid of all of them. Well, word came to Mordecai that this was going to take place, and the king issued a decree, sort of unknowingly issued a decree that the Jews were to be killed. And so Mordecai sent a message to Esther in the palace, and he said, listen, you need to help us. You need to intercede on behalf of your people to the king. Esther at first was hesitant, because if you came into the king's presence, I mean into his inner sanctum, without an invitation, then depending upon the mood of the king, you might be received and they might have your head cut off. You might be killed. And she told Mordecai, she said, listen, I haven't been invited into the presence of the king for 30 days. And I'm afraid to go. I would be afraid to go. I want you to listen to what Mordecai told Esther in response to that. If Esther chapter 4, verse 14, he said, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Mordecai told Esther, he said, listen, it's not a coincidence that you're queen right now. It's not an accident that you're the queen right now. God has put you in the palace as the queen for this moment, for this purpose. I want you to know something this morning. Every person in here this morning, you are living in this time and in this place for a specific purpose. It's not an accident that you're here. Whatever year and day that you were born, it wasn't an accident that you were born then. God had a plan for you from that moment forward. If you ask my mom and dad, they'll tell you that I was an accident. They had a boy, they had a girl, they were done, and along came me. But I'm going to tell you something. I might have been an accident to them, but I was not an accident to God. February the 1st, 1958, he had a plan for me, he had a purpose for me, and he has a plan for you, and he has a purpose for you. Right now, where you are, on the job, in the home, at school, even in the church, in social settings, wherever you are at that moment, you weren't born out of time, you were born at the right time, at the right place, and God has a plan. A specific purpose for you. For such a time as this, we have been brought here. So pray and ask God what it is that He wants you to do. Listen, He'll tell you. God is not in the secret-keeping business. If we will ask Him what He wants of us, He will tell us what He wants. He'll make it clear to us what He wants. He'll open the door of opportunity for us, And then it's our responsibility, it's our privilege and obligation then to obey God right now. Not later, not one of these days, not if I was born in another place or another time, but right now, for this cause, I am here. And I need to be, and we need to be, you need to be obedient to God right now. Amen. The second thing I want you to notice is that Jesus was troubled by the cross. I don't think that I pay too much attention to this, or at least I haven't over the years. But he was troubled. Verse 37 says, Jesus said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." I think maybe we sort of believe that everything was easy for Jesus. We think, you know, it was easy for him to do the work of God. After all, he was the Son of God. It was easy for him to do the work of God. After all, he was divine. He could do miracles. You know, he was God in human flesh. So it wasn't too much of a problem for him. Well, he was also human. And it wasn't easy for Jesus. I don't think it was easy for him to leave heaven. In heaven, he enjoyed the worship and the praise and the adoration of angels 24/7. He sat on the throne of glory 24/7. Whatever saints were already in heaven before he came to the earth, he enjoyed their worship and their praise. It wasn't easy to leave that. And it especially wasn't easy to leave that and come and to be born in a stable, a cave, among animals, to poor parents. From every indication that the scripture gives, Mary and Joseph were poor. I don't think it was easy for Jesus, as he began to minister, I don't think it was easy for him to suffer the rejection and the disbelief of most people. I know there were some who believed in him and accepted him, just like there are today. But just like today, most people rejected him. I don't think it was easy for him to experience that rejection. It's not for us. And he was human. And then we come to the end of his life. Listen, the trials, the multiple trials that Jesus went through, those were not easy for him to do. The beatings, the physical beatings, the flogging, the things that he went through physically, that was not easy. We may talk a little bit about that the next couple of weeks. And when you hear the description of what happened, you have to know that for a human being, and Jesus was human, that was terrible to go through. The humiliation that he went through. The Bible says that they spit in his face. That wasn't easy for Jesus. We read it and we think, oh, well, that's what he came to do and it's just no problem. It is what he came to do, but it was a problem. And then we come to the crucifixion itself, the horrible, barbaric way to die. That wasn't easy. The gospel writers, the four gospel writers, very seldom do all four of them mention the same thing or the same event. But all four gospel writers mention the troubling of Jesus at the crucifixion. Matthew 26, verse 38, the Bible says, "Then saith he, Jesus, unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." We read that and it doesn't register somehow. Mark 14, verse 34, "And he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." Luke 22, verse 44, "And being in an agony," this is in the Garden of Eden, "being in an agony," Garden of Gethsemane, "being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." The sweat mingled with the blood, or the blood mingled with the sweat, indicates a physical condition, a literal physical condition, where someone under great physical strain, or great stress, or great sorrow of the soul, the capillaries literally dilate and burst. And the blood mingles with the sweat. It wasn't easy for Jesus. In John that we just read, where he talked about that his soul was sorrowful, just talking about that his soul was troubled, just thinking about and talking about the crucifixion that he was about to face. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, and in this passage that we read in John, he submitted to the will of God. I have sometimes people talk about things like that and say things like that, and they, you know, when we think it was easy for Jesus, we like that. Oh, he just gladly, willingly went to the cross, and I'm so glad he did that because he loves me. I think it's even more loving. I think it's even more endearing that he went to the cross in sorrow. Because even though he knew what he was about to face, and even though it troubled his soul, and even though he was so physically in such turmoil and strain that his blood and his sweat mingled, he went anyway, willingly, to offer himself as a sacrifice for you and me. Amen. Sometimes what God asks us to do is not easy, is it? Matter of fact, most of the time, if we'd be honest, most of the time we think whatever it is God wants us to do is not easy. Could be something very simple, attending church. Well, you know, I've got other things I'd like to do, or I want to do, or I'd like to sleep, or I'd like to do this. That's not easy, Lord. Could be something as simple as paying our tithes. Boy, we don't want God getting our pocketbook now, do we? Maybe it's just witnessing to your friend or your family or your neighbor. Maybe it's answering the call to preach, or maybe it's answering the call to missions. Maybe it's going to a foreign country. Whatever it is, we have a tendency to think that what God wants me to do is not easy. Now, what he wants you guys to do is easy, but what he asks of me is not easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus, but he willingly submitted to the will of the Father. And so you and I, whether we think it's easy or not, need to willingly submit to the will of the Father, keeping in mind that whatever God calls us to do, he enables us to do. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Jesus went to the cross in the power of God. That's the only way he could go. The only way you and I can do whatever it is that God asks us to do is in the power of God. But he'll enable us if we'll be obedient. Finally, the last thing, there is the tug of the cross. At verse 32, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Now, you know that phrase, lifted up from the earth, literally was a reference to crucifixion. Because at crucifixion, the victim was laid on a cross on the ground. He was nailed to that cross. And then he was lifted up, and so that his body literally was suspended, lifted up and suspended between earth and heaven. No part of his body was touching earth. And he was hung there in between those two. And Jesus said, "If I am crucified, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Well, he was crucified. And his crucifixion is the single most compelling event in all of human history. Did you ever think about that? Occasionally, there'll be some show on television. I'm fascinated by the Kennedy assassination. I don't know why. But occasionally there'll be something on there, and without fail, almost somebody, they'll interview, you know, half a dozen people, and every one of them, I remember exactly where I was when that happened. I remember who I was with, what I was doing. I remember exactly. We had the terrorist attack a few years ago on 9/11, and the people in our country, a lot of people in our country, we can remember exactly where we were when those planes flew into those towers. Those are significant events. But you know what? You step out of the United States of America, you go to the jungles of Africa. That's where we always want to go, right? Those things don't mean anything to those folks. If they know about them, they don't remember where they were. It's insignificant to them because their life is completely different. Something else, some other event is significant to them. But every human being in every country, every nation, every tongue, every people is compelled by the cross of Jesus. Because he said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all people unto me." So every person is compelled, is drawn by the Holy Spirit to the cross of Jesus. When we're drawn, the Holy Spirit, when he draws us to God, to the cross, before we're saved in particular, he convicts us of our sins. And he draws us to the cross where the blood of Jesus was shed so that we could be forgiven. And the Holy Spirit invites us to confess our sins and receive the forgiveness that Jesus purchased for us at the cross of Calvary. He invites us to have a new life, a new beginning. He invites us to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ while we're living on this earth. And when he invites us, we must respond. And there are only two responses to that invitation. We either accept Jesus Christ as our Savior or we reject him. Now, I know, again, I have people tell me, oh, now, Pastor, I'm not rejecting Jesus. I'm not saying no. I'm saying not now. I'm saying, let me think about it later. Listen, delay is rejection. I've had people tell me, well, now, Pastor, well, I love this one. Pastor, I've got my own thing worked out with God. Right? I've been praying to God. And I don't, you know, just me and God, nobody else. Just me and God have got this worked out. I don't have to confess my sins. God and I have got a deal. Right? There's a third response to the invitation of Jesus besides acceptance and rejection, but I'm the only one that knows what it is. Any other response, listen, any other response other than acceptance is rejection. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to have a song of invitation and ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes, be as quiet as you can for just a moment. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you responded to the call of the Holy Spirit by accepting Christ, confessing your sins, and receiving His forgiveness? If you haven't done that, you are unsaved. Your soul is in jeopardy of hell, and you have the opportunity this moment to accept Jesus. I pray that you'll do that. Christian, is God asking you to do something that you think is not easy? Submit to His will. Surrender to His will and be obedient to God. For this cause, you are here to honor, revere, glorify, and obey God right now. You come while we sing. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming this morning. We have a young man here this morning.